We're looking at this theme of the art of loving well. And we're also looking at it section by section. And one of the sections we're looking at today is the art of feeling well. And so we're looking at our emotions. And how do we think about the art of feeling well? And you know, all of us have complicated and difficult emotions. And sometimes those emotions can get the better of us if we're not careful, and we need to deal with them. On the other hand, some people push their emotions down, and that is not very helpful. So today I want to look at how we deal with our emotions. Now, for this next little bit, I need a female volunteer, please. Would a female volunteer please come up to the... You're smiling at me. Would you like to come? Come on. Fiona, you come up then. All right. Or Bree, I don't mind. Whichever of you want to do it, that's fine. Fiona, you'll do it. That's fine. Don't worry. You don't have to do anything very much. You just have to stand there. Just stand there, okay? Just go a yard further away. That's fine. And all I want you to do is look at the floor. That's all you have to do. Because I'm imagining that you're my secretary at work, you see. And I'm going to breeze into the office and say hello. And all I want you to do is look at the floor. Is that okay? Yeah. What? Yeah, when I say hello. Hello. Good morning. Hello. Oh dear. Oh dear. She has not greeted me. I think she doesn't like me. I think she thinks I'm a bad doctor. Maybe I am a bad doctor. Maybe I should just go and hide away in my room all day and not see any patients today. Maybe I should think about a different career. Maybe I'm really no good as a doctor. Maybe I should do something else in my life. Okay, you can look up now. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? What did I think wrong? There's something wrong with me. Yeah, I thought there was something wrong with me. But do you think that was correct? Probably not. It might have been something wrong with you. Might be. You may not have heard me. Yeah. You may have been up all night worrying about something. You may have had a very nasty conversation with somebody. And you maybe just didn't greet me for some other reason. You know, it could have nothing to do with me. Is that correct? Have a seat. Thank you very much. The reason I've done that really is to illustrate this, you see. If I greet her and she does not respond, then actually I think she doesn't like me. And my emotions are, I feel down. I feel upset. I feel low. And then my behavior is, I will go and hide myself away in my office and not talk to anybody all day. You see, there's a very real connection between the way we think and the way we feel and the way we behave. Which is absolutely why we need to think correctly. We need to think correctly about things. This is what Paul writes. He says, if anything is excellent, no, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You see, the way we think is very, very important. There's someone I know recently who went into a meeting and he felt that people in that meeting did not greet him properly. Now he is in the depths of depression because he thinks that he was rejected. I'm quite sure that that did not happen. I think it was just probably one of those things that were maybe just people were busy doing other things and didn't greet him properly. But the reason he's in depression is because he feels rejected. The reason he feels rejected was he thought somebody didn't talk to him. You see, it all starts with the way we think. Which is why that is true. It's not what we think we are. What we think about ourselves is irrelevant, really. But the way we think is the way we really are. The way you think is what is going on really. It becomes what you really are. Which is why it's vital, if we're true followers of Jesus, that we get our thinking sorted out so that our emotions can begin to flow in a good and proper direction. And we need to learn how to deal with our difficult and problematical emotions. Now, you all realize, of course, that there is a cultural difference in this. For example, you might realize that an Englishman is very different from a South African man. Okay, we are very different, but we love each other in Christ. And thank you for that warm introduction. We love each other in Christ. We respect each other highly. But you see, we're very different. And the way we respond emotionally is actually very different. But I am actually delighted. I'm delighted this morning that South Africa won that World Cup. I wasn't delighted yesterday, but I'm delighted today because I could see that hand showing Jesus. And I think, hey, the whole world saw Jesus yesterday. And I think, wow, that was amazing. That was terrific. But you see, we need to guard very closely our hearts. Because what is going on inside of us is very, very important. And in Proverbs it says, above everything else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And that's a very, very important thing, that we guard our hearts. What is going on inside us is very, very important, because what is going on inside will show. Okay, I sometimes think what's going on inside won't show, but I'm wrong. It will show. What is going on inside will show. And this is what Jesus says. He says, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, what is going on in here is very, very important. Jesus is saying here that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So what is going on inside you will actually, in the end, come out. So it's very important that actually we understand and guard what is going on inside us. James says much the same thing. In the next one, he says, can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You see, God wants us to be springs of living water. He wants us to be life into this world around us. He wants us to be a fresh source of life and joy. You see, we have two kingdoms in this world. We have the kingdom of darkness, ruled over by Satan, and we have the kingdom of light, ruled over by Jesus. And you see, we don't want to be touching any of the darkness. We want to be only living the life. And the life is what is produced in a spring of living water. See, that's what Jesus was saying. Out of his innermost being, he says, those who believe in me, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. God has chosen you and called you, not just so you can have a home in heaven, but rather that you can be a spring of living water into the desert of this earth, bringing life and joy and power and reality to all that you touch. But you can only do that if what is going on in here is actually right. You see, that's what's important. We have to have a clean center. And in the book that we've been looking at, it also talks about faith can't fix what we won't face. You see, many, many people run their lives without actually paying attention to what is going on inside. They think, oh, well, I can just live this life any way I choose. I can just carry on doing anything I want, and I'm not really going to bother about what's going on in here. But actually, that won't work. We have to actually face up in a realistic manner and a proper manner to what is going on in us. First of all, we need to be aware of what is inside us. We need to face what is inside us, and we need to change what is inside us and also be changed. And the reason I put it like that is it's twofold, you see. The way that God works with us, it's not all him, and it's certainly not all us. It is us working together with him. And so what we do, you see, is we face what is going on inside us, but we also ask God to search us. Because if we do that, we're working in harmony with God, you see. We must work in harmony with God. And God is going to look at us and he's going to help us. But one thing I've found is the next one here, is we can get things sorted out in God's presence. Now, if you get things sorted out in God's presence, it means it's very much easier then to sort things out with other people in the world, if you've got things sorted out in the presence of God. Now, I found this is very, very helpful to me. You may not find it the same, but I like to get alone before God. And when I'm just alone in God's presence, I like to write down the things I'm thinking about. I like to write down my struggles. I like to write down my difficulties. I like to write down my disappointments. I like to write down my fears or my doubts. Or maybe my successes and my joys as well. And sometimes when I'm in God's presence, I will be filled with joy and very, very glad to be delighting in the Lord. And other times I'll be struggling a bit. I've got this problem and I don't want to do. I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure what to say. Do you find that when you're in God's presence? Get alone before God. Be before him. Acknowledge his presence with you. Spend some time worshiping and praising him. And then pour out your heart before God. Pour it out before God. That's the most vital thing to do. You'll find the Psalms are full of it. They're full of David and others pouring out their hearts. They ask God difficult questions. They pour out their hearts before God. They let their emotions out in God's presence. And so that's something we do. But also, as this next slide shows, we actually ask God to search us, because that's God's part. We say, God, you know, there'll be things about me I don't know. There'll be things about me I don't understand. There'll be things about me that others can see and I can't. I will have my blind spots. So, Lord, search me. Search me. And let's not be afraid, brothers and sisters, of other people doing a bit of searching as well. Say, Steve, you're out of line there. You know, you need to wise up there a bit. You haven't got it quite right. Because we'll have our blind spots. So we do a lot of that process ourselves. But then we're very open, saying, God, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Because there could be some offensive way in me. There could be somebody I've not properly forgiven. There may be somebody who's hurt me and I've walked away and kept my distance. So he says, Lord, I come into your presence, but also search me. Search me in your presence. And allow others to search me too. Help me to be humble. So if somebody comes to me and says, Steve, you're out of line. I say, hey, I might well be. Yeah, okay, let's get this sorted. So asking God to search us is also very, very important. But you know, the wonderful thing is this. There is peace in God. You know, one of the great realities of the Christian life is peace. You know, peace with God. Peace with God means I know that my sins are forgiven and washed away. I know that God is my Father. I know, in a sense, I'm a brother or sister of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's our inheritance. I know I have eternal life. I am at peace. Of course, then there's peace with others too that flows from that. But Paul is saying here in this verse that sometimes we need to find a way to bring ourselves before God. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I find that a most encouraging verse. But also, not just encouraging, very true to my experience. You see, all of us are built a little bit differently. We as a family would have a little bit of a tendency towards anxiety. I would certainly have that myself a little bit. Not as much as maybe one or two other members of my family. But there is that slight tendency there. I would have a tendency to worry. And you know, we are built differently. We're in different families. And there is a sense that some families are more prone to anxiety problems than others. I'd be slightly prone there. But I found that when I'm anxious, I do have a powerful resource, you see. And that powerful resource is in every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present your request before God. Do you ever go before God and say, start shouting, oh, Lord, I can't stand this. Lord, this is too difficult. Oh! And you get angry, get upset. But God can take it all, you see. And you pour it out before God. You pour it out. And pour out the problem. And after a while, you find this peace. You don't feel that necessarily the problem has gone away. But you sense that you're in peace because the peace of God has filled your heart again. You say, God, you know all about it. Somehow you're going to help me through this. And it's that sense of bringing you every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know that one reason for that is that buried emotions will cause damage. Let me tell you a little story about somebody called Adoniram Judson, who you may not have heard of, but actually he was one of the very first American missionaries to leave the coast of America, and he went to Burma in 1813, I think it was. And in Burma, he had a most difficult time because the war was going on between Burma and England, and he was put in prison. And in prison at night, they used to hoist his feet up way above the ground on a pole, and his shoulders would be on the ground, most uncomfortable. And then they would take people out and shoot them, and no one knew who was next. And vermin, rats running around the floor. Terrible situation. And then after the war, he was employed as an interpreter because he'd been there 7 years. It was 7 years before he saw his first convert to Jesus. 7 years. And he was employed as an interpreter. And in that time, he was separated from both his wife and his young daughter. And in that period of separation, both his daughter and his wife, sadly, they both died. Imagine you're in a foreign country. Your wife and your daughter both die. And you're separated from them at the time of the death. Very, very difficult. But you know what he did? Instead of allowing that emotion to come out, he pushed it down. Instead of allowing the grief to come out of him, he pushed it down, and he pushed it down, and he pushed it down. And he tried very hard to work at his work, which was Bible translation. He did that for 2 years. He tried to keep on trying desperately to push his emotions down. But you see, if you do that, you end up bringing damage to yourself. And after about 2 years, his work output slowed. And then he went into the jungle. And he built a little hut in the jungle. And then he dug a grave, and he walked around that grave in a suicidal state for many days. But you know what? The Christians there, small number, they prayed for him constantly. They poured out their hearts in prayer for dear old Adoniram. And you know what? He came through that traumatic and very difficult experience. And then when he began to preach again, thousands became Christians because God had done something in him. But at the same time, it shows us that if we push things down and push things down and push things down, it will actually in the end damage us. And I, as a psychiatrist, see people who suffer from something called post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm not going to go into that, but it's effectively people have been very, very stressed. They try and push their emotions down and try and bury them. It comes out in dreams. It comes out in avoidance. It comes out in other ways. And somehow we have to try and help people to reconnect with that buried, deep emotion. Because we know that actually bringing it to the surface and allowing somebody to feel it again will actually be therapeutic. You see, if you bury your emotions, you will actually cause yourself damage. Which is why we need to be real about our emotions. And we need to experience our emotions. And we need to let them out in an appropriate and good manner. That's what's important. You see, all of us are like icebergs. 90% of it is under the surface. We need to just know that it's good to have emotions in the proper place. So it is important to know what's going on inside. It is important to feel our emotions. It is important to be able to express our emotions in a good and appropriate way. But there's a very big but here. And it's this. In the Christian life, we are not to be led by our emotions. You understand the difference? We must experience them. We must find ways to release them safely. But we must not be led or guided by our emotions. We must be led by the Spirit of God. You see, there are many times in life where we'll say, I know what God is saying, but I don't want to do it. Ever had that experience? I know what God is saying, I don't really want to do it. And your emotion would say, let's run away, let's hide. That's what Jonah did. He says, those Ninevites, I don't want to go and preach to Nineveh, thank you very much. I want to go the other way. And he went the other way. Of course, he finally got to Nineveh. You see, we mustn't be led by our emotions. We must be led by the Spirit of God. I was talking to some folks earlier on, emphasizing, you know, the Spirit of God has come into us so that the Spirit of God can lead us. And you know and I know what the leading of the Spirit is. We know when the Spirit is saying this way and not that way. Why? Because immediately you try and go the wrong way, you don't have peace about it. The peace of God is like an arbiter. In a sense, this is what God is saying. This is the way God is leading. And we're to be led by the Spirit of God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So the importance of being led by the Spirit, not by our emotions, so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. God wants you and I to live a life that is fully pleasing to God, fully pleasing in every way. And that's why we need to be led by the Spirit of God, but also to deal with our emotions in a proper and good way. Remember the experience of David. David was a man of God. Jesus was pleased to be called the son of David. But at the same time, you may know that David was guilty of adultery, deceit, and murder. Remember that incident with Bathsheba. And if you look closely into Scripture, a child was born of that relationship before Nathan the prophet challenged David. So it seems that David was probably out of touch with God for about one whole year, giving time for that child to be born. One whole year out of touch with God. But you might remember that the prophet Nathan came to David and he told him a story. He said, there was this very rich man, had lots and lots of sheep, and a poor man, and somebody came to dinner with him. But instead of killing one of his own sheep for lunch, he went and took the sheep from a very poor man and he gave him that for lunch instead. Been hearing this morning about our giving, taking something that didn't belong to him and serving it up for lunch. And David was incensed. He said, that man should be killed. Who would do that? Take something that doesn't belong to him and serve that up. And Nathan then says, David, you are that man. You took what didn't belong to you. You took another man's wife. You could have had anything you wanted, David, but you took something that didn't belong to you. And then you murdered the husband. Effectively. And David is cut to the heart. And he says this, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you've crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You see, David was cut to the heart. He knew that things were not right. And he knew he needed to find cleansing and healing because he'd been through a stormy time and his bones were broken. If you read the Psalms carefully, he was broken in many, many ways. But you see, he turned back to God and said, let the bones you crushed rejoice. Let me find healing in your presence. Cleanse me in the deep place. Create in me a pure heart. And you see, God wants us to have a pure heart. And God wants us to find healing in his presence. And I felt as I would close this time that those two things are particularly relevant today. You know, we need to find cleansing and we need to find healing. And both of those are available in God's presence today. You see, we might be aware or we may not be aware that things are not quite right within us. But you see, God is able to do far more abundantly than all that we would ask or think. God is able to cleanse at a deep level everything in our hearts. And God is able to bring things back together, to bring healing and restoration at that deep point in our lives. And today God wants to do that, I believe. He wants to bring that healing into our lives, whether it's been brokenness and hurt, and maybe major trauma or difficulty from the past. God wants to bring healing into that. And then God also wants to bring cleansing. If we know that we're out of line, if we know that things aren't right in here, then God can bring that cleansing into our hearts. You see, Jesus says here, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by his name. I love the way the Bible puts those two verses together. It's amazing. You see, it shows the tremendous tenderness of God, that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And we can lay hold of that today and say, Lord, I lay hold of that in my life today. I believe you to heal me. And I believe you to bind up my wounds. But you see, the God who does that is the same God who has determined the number of the stars and calls them all by name. Do you know there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand in the earth? The number's outstanding. But the God who's done that, you see, who's named every one of those stars, is the same God who has that individual, intimate relationship with you, whereby he wants to heal the broken heart and bind up their wounds. There was a young boy and he was given a jigsaw puzzle to play with. And it was a jigsaw puzzle of the world. And he was desperately trying to find the jigsaw pieces to put the world together. And he found it very difficult. And then he turned the jigsaw puzzle over. And on the other side was a face. It was the face of Jesus, you see. And he found he could easily put the face of Jesus together. What's that saying? It means when we focus on Christ, focus on his love, focus on who he is, focus on his healing, focus on his cleansing, then somehow the world gets back together. I want us just to stand up, if you don't mind, and we're going to pray together just for a moment. And I'd like you to identify with me in this prayer. We can all identify with it because none of us has got everything right. We're all on a journey. We're all on a journey. It's a prayer for just healing and a prayer for cleansing. So just join in with me with this. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for loving me. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying on a cross. Thank you for shedding your precious blood Thank you that as I look at that precious blood today, there is cleansing and forgiveness for every one of my sins. But Lord, you also heal the brokenhearted. And Lord, you see the way that I've been in pain and struggled and been hurt. But Lord, you heal the brokenhearted. And today, Lord, I pray that you would bring me your healing and restore me and give me again joy and gladness in your presence. So, Lord, I ask you to do this in Jesus' name.